This has been such a wonderful and special and new experience for me, and I'm so thankful that God asked me to do this, and I am receiving the affirmation after the obedience, and it's incredible. And I just hope this gives you even more encouragement to obey, because what I'm going through right now is absolutely amazing. I have learned so much through speaking up here in front of all of you, and it's incredible when you're open and available to Him, what He will speak through you. And sometimes you have these plans that you're going to say something, and He says, nope. And then He says, you're going to say this instead while you're up here. It's really incredible. And you met my husband. And you can see how crazy it is at our house. We are probably going to crash after this weekend, though, to be honest with you. There's going to be no life in our house. Well, the past two sessions, I talked about delighting in a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. I talked about hearing, confirming, and obeying God's call to be involved with His work through an intimate relationship with Him. This afternoon, my goal is to encourage you to continue to mature in your relationship with God. Obeying God by stepping out in faith into the unknown is only the beginning of your faith journey. After you take that initial step to obey God, He will continue to call you to do His work. And each time you obey, He will reveal a new knowledge and a new understanding of Himself. And He will increase your faith more and more each time. As you take these steps of faith, God will also mold you to be more like Jesus. Will you pray with me? Lord, I thank You again for this time together. I pray You open our minds, open our hearts. I pray we are open right now to hear what You have to say to us. I pray You use me as a vessel and just speak through me, Lord. I pray as we learn about maturing in You and what that looks like, I pray that You will encourage us to do that and to mold us to be more like You. This is not about us. This is about You. And I pray that we will continue to obey You so our faith grows and grows each time, Lord. And just speak to us at this moment during this last session, Lord. Bring all of what I have said together. And I pray these things in Your name. Amen. So our move to North Carolina began a new chapter in my life that I had never predicted. God called me to do something new that took even more faith than moving to North Carolina. After we got settled into our new home, I wanted to shout from the rooftops what God had done in my life. I even thought, just shortly, possibly about writing a book. I shared with my family members and close friends how awestruck I was in my experience of obeying God and how it brought me joy and freedom. My response to all of this was to praise God and worship Him, and it sparked a desire to spend more and more time with Him. As time went on, I thought people were probably sick and tired of hearing all this from me. So I thought to myself, well, I will always remember this, and I will continue to praise God myself. Well, little did I know that God did have opportunities planned out to share my story. I went to a women's retreat with Potomac Baptist Church, which is our previous church, and this was last February. My mom, Robin McGee, my Nana, Nancy Pritchard, my aunt, Sherry Dennis, and my cousin, Kristen Richards, all attended this retreat as well. Prior to the retreat, the planning committee asked if I would share a 10-minute testimony. I was so excited, and I immediately said, yes. I knew I would share my testimony of moving to North Carolina because I didn't really get an opportunity to share my experience with this church, and I wanted to make sure that they knew that this was God's calling, and this was not Jeff and me just saying, hey, let's move to North Carolina. I wanted them to know this was God, and it was so hard for Jeff and I to leave PBC. The same day I was asked to share my testimony, I immediately started writing it. It all came out so easily and quickly as I was so eager to share God's glory and his goodness. The weekend of the retreat arrived, and I spoke the first night on Friday. As I was speaking, I loved the thought that God was using me to encourage others to fully rely on God and obey his calling. It was also very emotional for me because everything I was talking about just recently happened, and I was still in shock. After I shared my testimony, I sensed God nudging me, that he had something to tell me. So the next day on Saturday, we had a big chunk of free time, and my mom, Sherry, Nana, and Kristen were all going shopping. They invited me to go, but I said no. I needed to stay at the retreat center. I found a quiet place where no one was around, and I spent hours in the Word. I sat and I just listened. God used this time to speak to me through the Word. I sensed the Holy Spirit directly talking to me, saying, I want you to be a speaker to women. It was an unforgettable experience, and it was as if the Holy Spirit enveloped me like a cloud and whispered in my ear. Now, as you can imagine, I was dumbfounded. Me? I have no experience in leading women's ministry, and I don't have a theological degree of any type. But as I shared with you earlier, whose standards are those? The world's. I actually sensed a little call from God to be a speaker several months prior to this, and it was not so obvious. So I just brushed it off thinking I was being silly. This time, it was loud and clear. And after that experience, I had a hard time focusing on anything else for the remainder of that retreat weekend. My cousin Kristen could even tell something was off with me, and she asked, "Do you miss your kids?" I told her, honestly, I even had time to think about my kids. I know that sounds horrible, but it was true. I told Kristen that I wanted to share something with her, but I'm scared because I'm not ready to follow through with it. I told her I sensed God was leading me to be a speaker. Her response was, whoa. That is scary. Well, apparently that Saturday night at the retreat, Kristen's mom, Sherry, told Kristen that she has been praying for a younger generation of Christian women speakers to rise, and that I came to her mind as one of those speakers. After this comment, Kristen told her what I said about how I sense God wants me to be a speaker. On our drive home from the retreat on Sunday, the five of us stopped for lunch. And our conversation eventually led to God's call for me to be a speaker. Through this conversation, God used my family as the first confirmation of this calling. At this time, Sherry knew she wanted to start planning for an EMC women's conference, and she threw out the idea that I could be the conference speaker. I laughed it off, and I said no. I continued to pray about being a speaker and what that would look like. And I waited on the Lord for the next steps. I determined I should ask someone else to pray about this with me who is not a family member. Joanne White, who introduced me, immediately came to my mind, so I shared my experience with her. She was excited about this calling, and she asked me, "You know, have you talked to Sherry about doing an EMC women's conference?" I told her, yes. And Joanne said, the conference may be a good speaking opportunity for me. I told her that Sherry told me the same thing, but I just laughed about it. And I asked Joanne, when did you talk to Sherry about this? She said she didn't. And the Lord just put this idea on her mind. And she was just wondering if Sherry was even thinking about planning another conference. Joanne said we should pray about this and see if it's part of God's plan. Well, at that moment, my mind was blown. God used these two women, Sherry and Joanne, to propose the idea of speaking at a women's conference to me. And these women didn't even talk to each other. I immediately called Sherry. I'm like, okay, I'm in. Let's talk about this. The planning committee started meeting to plan the conference, and I was open to the idea of speaking for one session, maybe two. I continued to pray about the opportunity, and I sensed God leading me to Becky Hill, because she has spoken at an EMC women's conference in the past. I met with Becky, and I flat out asked her, is this absolutely ridiculous for me to do? She said, no, it's not. And she is so excited to see how God is going to use me. She gave me valuable advice and encouragement. Well, I'm standing before you now in the middle of the third session, and all I can say is praise be to God. He has been with me every step of the way in preparing me for this conference. He gave me the words at the perfect times. God provided time to prepare for this, which he knew I needed. I knew I was going to speak at this conference about 8 months beforehand, which allowed me to put time and effort into this while being a mom of three boys and teaching preschool at the same time. God also provided help and encouragement through people. Family and friends watched my boys for me so I could have alone time to prepare. Many people encouraged me and prayed for me. And my husband listened to every one of my sessions that I prepared, and he gave me suggestions. This is all proof that when you say yes to God, he will provide resources. He will provide people to walk alongside of you, and he will enable you to fulfill his purposes. God also called me into another new opportunity after moving here. As I shared earlier this morning, God made it clear to me to stop taking the initiative to look for a job and focus on spending time with God and my family. During my quiet times, the Holy Spirit told me to wait on God, and he will provide a job for me at his perfect timing. The Holy Spirit also promised me God will provide financially for our family during this waiting period. Well, he did. For the first year, we were able to pay all of our bills every month. In fact, we received unexpected money from gifts or refunds. We also used some of the money we received from the sale of our home. We are so thankful and continue to praise God for his provision. Through this, God proved to us that he will pave the way when we obey his commands. This past July, Jeff and I reviewed our budget, and we determined we needed to take a little more, we needed to make a little more income each month to meet our bills in the future. I kid you not, 1 week after that realization, there was an announcement in the church bulletin seeking preschool teachers. God used this circumstance to speak to me, and the announcement jumped out at me. Jeff and I prayed about it for a week. I wanted to be very careful about jumping into a new job since my last job became an idol. After that week, the Holy Spirit confirmed to both Jeff and me to move forward and reach out to the preschool. Well, several weeks later, I was named the new 3-year-old EMC preschool teacher. It has been a privilege teaching these children, and it does not feel like a job. Although there are some challenges, overall, it is fun. I love the opportunity to watch each child grow. And it's really special that I get to teach them basic skills, such as letters, shapes, colors, and they're gonna use these for the rest of their lives. And I'm the one teaching them. I also get to freely share the love of Jesus with them. We are going through the Bible, and we started with creation, and we are now talking about Jesus' life on earth. My prayer is that these Bible lessons will plant seeds in their hearts, and that these children will remember these truths as they grow older. Eli attends the 2-year-old class, and my cousin Megan Dennis is his teacher, and Miss Barbara Bright is her assistant. You know what's incredible? My monthly income is exactly the amount Jeff and I needed to meet our bills. Again, God provided. He fulfilled that promise the Holy Spirit made to me to wait on God, and he provided a job at his perfect timing. After I jumped in and said, "Yes, Lord, I will move to North Carolina," he continued to invite me to do more things for him. Each journey God has taken me on has increased my intimacy with Christ. And it is an abundant life. Just like Jesus promised in John 6:63, the Spirit is the one who gives life. Human strength can do nothing. I am at the point where I want to continue to say, "Yes, Lord, use me however you wish. I have tasted his goodness, and I don't want anything else." He leads us one step at a time, and he doesn't always give us all the details at first. He reveals each step when we are ready for it. One of my favorite things about the walk of faith is when we obey each command from God, we will receive a new knowledge and a new understanding of him. The disciples learned more and more about Jesus each time they obeyed him. Jesus said, "Come, follow me," and the disciples immediately left their own lives and followed Jesus. They learned Jesus' ways are not the world's ways, and it's costly to follow Jesus as they were persecuted for their beliefs. They learned how to put their faith in Jesus after the winds and the waves obeyed Jesus as he calmed a storm when the disciples thought they were going to drown. When Jesus gave the 12 disciples authority to cast out evil spirits and heal every kind of disease and illness, he gave them specific instructions on who to heal, how to behave, and where to stay. Jesus even told the disciples that they will be arrested, but God will give them the words to say to the governors and kings to tell them about Jesus. The disciples obeyed all of Jesus' instructions and learned that he is faithful and true. The disciples learned that Jesus provides for their physical needs. After Jesus fed the 5,000 with only 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish, they learned that Jesus will provide for their financial needs when Peter obeyed Jesus to find a silver coin in the mouth of the first fish he caught to pay for Peter's and Jesus' taxes. They learned what it looks like to submit to God's will when Jesus was willing to obey his Father and allow the authorities to take his life. They learned about the great resurrection power of Jesus after he rose from the dead and that God can overcome all evil. Before Jesus' death, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. After Jesus' resurrection, Peter repented of his sin, and Jesus gave Peter the opportunity to tell Jesus he loved him 3 times to pardon those 3 denials. This taught the disciples about Jesus' love and forgiveness. In addition to receiving a new knowledge and a new understanding of God, I have also learned that when God sees you are faithful and obedient with little, he will entrust you with more. A great example of this is Joseph. A lot of you may know this story, but I'm going to review it to show you how when you are faithful and obedient, God will entrust you with more. When Joseph was a boy, his father favored him and gave him a beautiful coat of many colors. Joseph's brothers were jealous and hated him. God gave Joseph dreams that implied Joseph would be a king one day, and his family would bow down to him. His brothers were jealous of his dreams and sold Joseph into slavery. They lied to their father, telling him Joseph was killed by a wild animal. Joseph was sold to Potiphar, who was an officer of Pharaoh. God enabled Joseph to succeed in everything he did, which pleased Potiphar. Joseph became Potiphar's personal attendant and was in charge of his household and everything he owned. Potiphar's wife attempted to seduce Joseph, but Joseph was obedient to God and refused. He knew his master trusted him with everything, and Joseph would not betray him or God. Joseph refused Potiphar's wife many times, and she got so fed up that she took Joseph's cloak and lied, saying he left it with her after attempting to seduce her. Potiphar believed his wife and threw Joseph into prison. It may not have seemed like God was in this situation, but he was, because God made Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and everything that happened in that prison. Again, God caused everything Joseph did to succeed. The king's chief cupbearer was temporarily placed in prison with Joseph, and Joseph interpreted a dream of his, which came true. 2 years later, Pharaoh was disturbed by his dreams because he didn't know what they meant. The chief cupbearer told Pharaoh about Joseph's ability to interpret dreams. Pharaoh immediately sent for Joseph out of the prison and shared his dream with him. Joseph told Pharaoh, God is telling him in advance about what he is going to do. The next 7 years will be a period of great prosperity throughout Egypt. But after, there will be 7 years of great famine that will destroy the land. Joseph said Pharaoh should find an intelligent and wise man and put him in charge of the entire land of Egypt and to prepare for this time of prosperity and then famine. Pharaoh told Joseph, "No one is as intelligent and as wise a man as you, and I am putting you in charge of the entire land of Egypt to prepare for this time of prosperity and then famine." During the famine, Joseph's brothers ended up in front of Joseph and bowed down to him, asking for grain, but they did not recognize him. When Joseph revealed his identity to his brothers, he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. But don't be upset. Don't be angry. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. And he is the one who made me an advisor to Pharaoh, the manager of his entire palace and governor of all of Egypt. Because Joseph was obedient and faithful as Potiphar's personal attendant, and because Joseph was obedient and faithful as the head of the prison, God entrusted him to be in charge of Pharaoh's court and the entire land of Egypt. Just like Joseph, when we are obedient with what God commands us to do, he will entrust us to do more for him." As we walk in faith and obey God's commands, God aligns our desires to his. Again, Psalm 37:4, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Reaching the point of sharing God's desires is a process. God molds our hearts to be more like Jesus. This process is called sanctification, to become more and more like Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. I have learned a lot about sanctification during this past year. I learned that God reveals hindrances between me and God and commands me to remove them from my life. He replaces those hindrances with himself. It started with my career. I had no idea that my career was a hindrance between me and God. I thought it was a gift from God to provide for my family. However, God revealed to me that it took place of my relationship with God, and I needed to let it go. When I came to the point where I truly let it go, I was able to replace that old desire of career success with a desire to nurture my personal relationship with God. You know, when I told the pastor from Potomac Baptist Church, where we came from, his name is Pastor Scott, I said, "You know, the Lord is using me to speak at a women's conference at our church." His response was, "I wish we had recognized this ability in you to encourage and develop you at PBC. I told him, "No, I wouldn't have even noticed this ability or calling because I was so focused on my career to further it." I told him, "I would not have been ready for anything like this because my career was in the way. God had to physically remove me from that environment to allow God to do what he intended me to do." Now, God did use my career to prepare me for this call. I had opportunities to fill leadership roles and speak publicly multiple times. And little did I know, God was using my professional experience to develop me to do something completely different for him. God also revealed to me I needed to remove my personal desires and my personal goals. Like I mentioned earlier, Jeff and I had our lives all planned out. And this move to North Carolina put a wrench in those plans. I learned to get rid of my desires and goals and instead wait on God for his direction. and I want to fill his desires. This takes a lot of patience and trust, since it's not always my preferred timing, and it may seem like a long wait. But God has proved his faithfulness to me, and I am learning to trust his guidance. God is also teaching me how to sense the Holy Spirit's conviction of sin in my life. When the Holy Spirit reveals to me that I am growing distant from God, or I don't have his peace and joy, I stop, and I am still before God in prayer. I ask him to reveal any sin in my life that is causing this separation from God. God reveals his sin, reveals my sin through reflection or his word, or a lot of times through the honesty of my family. I repent of my sin and I ask God for forgiveness. I ask God to replace this sin with his love, his joy, his peace, his patience, kindness, goodness, his faithfulness, his gentleness, and his self-control. A lie that I believed that God revealed to me is false is the superwoman mentality. I lived for 10 years believing that there is such a thing as superwoman. And I was wondering, when am I ever going to achieve that state? I really thought about this and wondered if it was even a thing after my coworker gave me this stress reliever that you squeeze. This is a stress reliever. I took a picture of it. She gave this to me right before Jeff and I found out we were going to move to North Carolina. And I think she was trying to encourage me to keep working hard and keep going because I am superwoman. I had that stress reliever sitting on my desk at work, and I looked at it every day, hoping to be that superwoman. I also thought, why would a superwoman need a stress reliever in the first place? If she's superwoman, she should be able to do anything without any weakness. Well, when my career was out of my life, and my personal desires and goals were replaced with God's desires, God revealed to me, I can do nothing on my own strength. Like John 6:63 says, human strength can do nothing. There is no such thing as superwoman. Instead, I can do all things because of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. When we obey, and when we remove sin from our lives and stop believing lies of this world, God fills us with his holiness instead. That is what sanctification is, to become more and more like Christ and to be set apart from this world. When we believe Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose again, and we believe Jesus is the only way to eternal life with God, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, who convicts us of sin and gives us the power to overcome sin with abundant life. Paul beautifully presents how Jesus Christ broke the power of sin in Romans chapter 6. I can't say it any better than Paul, so I'm going to read Romans 6, 12 through 23 to you. And we have the words on the screen too. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God! Once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. Now, you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy. When you are slaves to sin, you are free from the obligation to do right. But now, you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Holy Spirit will teach you. He will remind you of all things that are holy and things that are not holy. It is easy to give into temptation and think, you know, I'm obeying God in every other part of my life. It's okay if just this part, I don't obey him. That is not what abundant life is about. Abundant life is obeying God in every aspect of your life and experiencing his holiness so you are ready to do what God is calling you to do to fulfill his purposes. My prayer for each of you after listening to these three sessions is that the Holy Spirit has met you where you are in your walk with God, and that he has given you a desire to grow deeper in your personal relationship with God and to find true delight in him. My prayer is that this delight will lead you to hear, confirm, and obey his call, and that you will experience his faithfulness as you fulfill his purposes. When you do experience his faithfulness, I pray you will rejoice and delight in the Lord even more. When you sense God leading you to do something that requires even more faith, I pray that you will remember what God has already done and that he is faithful. I also pray that each of you will access the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome your sinful desires that died on the cross, and that you will choose an abundant and a holy life. Allow God to mold your heart, to share his desires, to do his kingdom work here on earth, so you may hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for your words this weekend. I pray these words do not end here. If any of us are encouraged or you have revealed something to us, I pray we will walk out of these doors and continue with that revelation and continue to obey you and walk out in faith. It is so easy to be afraid. It is so easy to think like the world does and think this is absolutely ridiculous. It does not make any sense. But Father, if we have confirmed it is from you, I pray we will take that giant step of faith and do it, knowing that you are faithful and a whole lot of affirmation is coming in the future. And once it does, I pray we will remember that, Lord. We will take time to remember that, to worship you, so that when it happens again, we will not be hesitant, but we will say, "Send me, Lord. I am a sinful woman, and I am sorry. Forgive me. I see your holiness. I am ready now. Send me. I pray all these things in your holy name. Amen.